Welcome to the Waite Park Church Sermon Podcast, a ministry of Waite Park Church in Northeast Minneapolis. We do everything we do because we believe life with Jesus is better. If you like what you hear, we'd love to have you swing by and join us for worship. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and have other groups and ministries on various days of the week. You can learn more by going to waiteparkchurch.org.
Good morning, church. I'll be giving the reading this morning. It's on page 798 in your red Bible, the very back. We're looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Bear with me, it's allergy season. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Send the reading.
There, now you can hear me. Maybe you were better off not hearing me. Oh, to turn it back off. Those of you who were here last week, heard Pastor Corey just share with us a powerful sermon introducing us to the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us are kind of under the assumption that the Holy Spirit wasn't around until the day of Pentecost. In fact, he was. I mean, that's the meaning of the Trinity, that each members of the Godhead, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, are co-eternal and are involved in everything that we read about in the scriptures. It's kind of like, I don't know if this is a good way to describe it. It's a partial good way of describing it. It's like in the Old Testament when the primary emphasis was upon God the Father, was that it was a parent, God the parent, who was acting, who was the authority figure, who was kind of distant, way out there. Only a few people could really come to him and know what he was talking about, and through them they told others. Under the Son, Jesus Christ, the Advent season and the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension season, that time frame of his ministry, it's kind of like God is our example, our teacher. Now, you didn't get it before. Let me show you. Jesus Christ, let me show you. Look at me, watch what I do, what I don't do, and follow me. That's God revealing himself to us. With the coming of the Holy Spirit or the Pentecost, it's kind of like God says, come here, let me walk with you. Let's walk together. In fact, it's actually the end of Christ's public ministry that I think is the greatest illustration. You remember on the day of the resurrection and various appearances, and these two disciples, follower of Christ, were on the road to Emmaus, and they're discussing all these things that had happened. And their complexity, they just couldn't understand. We thought that he was the Messiah. You could just kind of sense the depression in their spirit. We thought, and we just don't know what to think now. And as they're walking along, a third person comes. I don't know how that happened, whether, a tributary, and they again, walking together, or one caught up with the other, or the two caught up with the third. However it was, all of a sudden, Jesus is there walking with them. And he says, what's wrong? And they explain how Jesus was crucified, and we thought all this stuff about him, the Messiah had come. And as they walked, Jesus described to them, interpret the scriptures to them, the Old Testament, how these things must come to pass. This is the meaning. And they came to their place of residence, and they were going to stop, obviously, and Jesus started to go on. And they entreated him to wait and stay with them. And as they ate and prepared food and Jesus broke the bread, they saw the image of the Lord's Supper as they sat together that last time, and Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, and they're this guy, oh, and he's gone. And they talk among themselves and they say, wasn't our hearts strangely warmed as we were walking with him? Now the passage that was read, basically the backdrop is the deeds of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit, and these conflict together. And the bottom line is, as we walk with the Spirit, as we're led by the Spirit, and again, as we walk with the Spirit, the deeds of the flesh fall off, because in fact, the core, you know, you read them, they all have to do with me being first, focusing on my life and my wants and so forth. And the fruits of the Spirit focus on being the kind of person that Jesus was, being the kind of person that God wants us to be. And the core lesson is, as we walk with the Spirit, as we're led by him, as we cultivate this relationship with him, we become more like him. And he leads us and is involved in our lives. Now, a few things I want to share with regard how we can be led by the Spirit. But the overarching concept is, you have to be all in. If you want to be led by the Spirit, day in and day out, you have to be all in. In other words, you need to be committed to doing his will before you know his will. You have to be committed to doing his will before you know his will. And when he knows our heart, our commitment, then he begins to lead us. Sometimes we're not always aware of it, but sometimes we get down the road and we look back. Oh, this is where God was leading me. This is what God was wanting. And step by step, not dramatic necessarily, but in small, real ways, God, through his indwelling Spirit, this relationship walking hand by hand down the road of life, we finally come out where he was leading us all along. Now, there are some practical keys to being led by the Spirit. Obviously, being intent on knowing his will, you know, really listening. What was that you said? Oh, okay, okay. You know, really, really intently listening. And two key disciplines kind of put it in practice. One is prayer. As we bring to him our concerns and our needs, asking him to reveal himself to us today, for this day and for the week, as we put aside earthly things, fast, seek his blessing and his leadership, these cultivations of the presence of God, it is through those things that God speaks to us. Some of you may have the problem that I have, although I guess it's not a problem. You're reading the scriptures, or you're singing some of the songs, and something strikes you as you read, and you find that your mind kind of wanders off praying and contemplating what this may mean, seeking the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Those spiritual disciplines that bring us into the presence of God am tarrying there are significant means by which God would lead us. I've jotted a couple other things, searching the scriptures, of course. God never leads us contrary to the revealed will of God. If what you're feeling is contrary to something you're reading, you better back up. You better think about that and pray about that a bit longer, maybe consult other people as well. God never leads us contrary to the written word of God. That's why you need to know it and study it and read it. Seek godly counsel, whether it's talking to the pastor or somebody else you have spiritual confidence in. In fact, I won't tell you actually what happened, but somebody was speaking to me. We were conversing about a situation, and the person said, in this congregation, says he's just disturbed about something. A relationship, a conversation that she'd had, an invitation to do something. And she happened to mention that to Abby. And she said, explained her kind of the heaviness of the spirit. And Abby's response was, well, this came third hand. Abby's response was, well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit telling you to back up. This isn't something he wants you to do. That is seeking godly counsel. And I'm not sure about that. Maybe you better pray about that a bit longer. Think about that. And the person of whom I'm speaking just backed up. Okay, that settles it. We won't be doing that. Seeking godly counsel. You know, we have a way of, but we're all prejudiced some ways. You know, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And sometimes our preconceived concepts interfere with hearing God's voice. And to have somebody else take a look at those same situations and those same feelings can bring new light into our own perspective and help us to make better judgments. Oh, the Holy Spirit says no. The Holy Spirit says go. We have examples of that in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit refrained them from doing things, going someplace, and finally opened the door to someplace else. Seek godly counsel. And we have this strange feeling that the leadership of the Holy Spirit is bizarre. You know, it's dramatic. It's the unusual thing, you know. Reason is not in conflict with divine guidance, usually. Sanctified reason, weigh the pros and cons. If you don't feel checked by the Spirit or other people affirm your feelings that this is what God wants you to do, then okay, maybe so. It's not contrary to logic, but it's submitted to the Holy Spirit and God. There are some profound things God did. People did things that are just counter to reason. And yet God, through Holy Spirit, led them to do it, and God blessed it. But that's the unusual, not the usual. In fact, many times we wouldn't confess to being led by the Holy Spirit until after we got where we were going. Step by step, walking with Jesus, arm in arm, having a warm fellowship of spirit, as we go forward, we find out that God was leading us all along. Circumstances. Often God closes a door so they can open a window. He stops us from doing something because he's got something better for us. I didn't know. I've heard stories like this, but I wasn't aware of Kendi's story until I think it was Mark was sharing at Joan's funeral. I did know that they were called to be missionaries. In fact, My father was their pastor at the time, and Don was working in the headquarters Sunday school department. And he got called into the mission department, and they wanted to send Don and Joan to Haiti. And, okay. So over the weekend, Don and Joan prayed about it, thought seriously about it, felt a heavy heart about it. They couldn't explain it, but just didn't feel it was right. So Don went in on Monday, mission department, and told them that they were saying no. Knowing, or at least having the idea, that if you said no to something, you were probably off their slate. It was unlikely they would, less likely, let's put it that way, less likely that they'd come around again. So, well, what about this? So they said no, knowing or feeling there was a likelihood that they were shutting the door to Wesleyan World Missions. I don't know how long it was, but when they came to Don and Joan again and said, what about Sierra Leone? And that spirit lifted. Yes, that's where God wants us to go. And we know the rest of the story because we participated in that story. It was trying the spirits, listening, feeling a heavy heart, gritting their teeth and saying no, because that's really what they wanted to do. Maybe the chance won't come again, but trusting God's leadership. Open doors, circumstances. The final thing I would notice is be patient. What I've said over the years is God is a gentleman. He never puts a gun to your head and says, you better do this right now or else. Now, the devil is the one that condemns. He is the one that, you missed it this time. You'll never be able to get back on the horse again. That was God's will, and now you're destined to never walk with God. Be patient. God lead. Didn't we sing that? He leadeth me this morning. He leads us patiently, arm in arm, like Jesus on the road to Emmaus, conversing and sharing, being part of their lives. And let's face it, you and I mess up. We miss it. Oh, was that where I was supposed to go? Was that where I was supposed to turn? But patiently letting the clarity of God's Spirit, the witness of the Spirit, witness to our hearts that all is well. You're probably not familiar with the name B.F., I forget the last name, Meyer, a theologian, preacher, England, long, long ago. He tells a story of being, that was back when you traveled by ocean liner or whatever, you know, when he went across the ocean. In fact, I mentioned Don and Joan, when they went to Sierra Leone, they went on a boat. You know, lots changed. You don't hop on a 747 and fly someplace. You took a while to get there. Couldn't be in a hurry. But he was on this ocean liner, and it was night when they were approaching the harbor, and it was just dark, and it's kind of eerie and scary. And so he went to the cabin, or the captain said, how can you know where the harbor is? With all those lights, you know, they're just all one big light, and how do you know? Said, well, you see that really bright light over there? And you come this way a bit and you see a second bright light. And finally, a little farther this way, a really, really bright light. But just watch here. And they steered the boat. And finally, two of the lights merged together. And then finally, a third light merged with the other two. And I said, now what you do, you just aim towards those lights as long as they look like they're one. And that's how you get to the harbor. And that's how we get to the divine harbor of knowing that we are following God's will. When our inner witness of the Spirit, when circumstances, when the consensus of others all converge, that is where God is leading you. Go for it. Go for it knowing that the Spirit is leading you. Now, his direction may change, but keep submitting to the Spirit. Continue being all in. All in. Committing to doing his will, God's will, before you know God's will. You're not just trying to test, is this good or this bad? You mean to do what God wants you to do, and God will let you know what it is he wants you to do. Our Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to walk with us, to lead us, to be a partner with us in the journey of life. Help us to be committed to following him, obedient in every way, being willing to adjust as it seems that his will is adjusting, and be assured that he is leading us. Amen.
You've been listening to the Wake Park Church Sermon Podcast from Wake Park Church in Northeast Minneapolis. We hope this week's sermon helped you learn to know and love Jesus more and serve him in your unique place in the world. If you have feedback or questions, get in touch with us by emailing podcast@wakeparkchurch.org.